Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
So if you'll join me in prayer, we'll pray and we're going to get started. Lord God, thank you again for today. Thank you that we have the privilege and the honor of being able to just come before you. We're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for the gift of prayer. So, Father, we ask that you would go before us now. Pray that you would give us your understanding. Pray as we look at your word that you would speak and you would speak clearly to us. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned this morning, if you weren't here this morning, I talked about Sunday evening services. And one of the things that really, I've been convicted about, and I'm going to get to the outline in just a second, and I know you said that's a lot of points. We're never going to get done in time. We will. But one of the things I really was convicted about, and I mentioned it this morning, is that we don't do a lot of praying as a church. Now, we pray, like we have Wednesday night, and we have Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I've heard from some people, and they're like, why don't we just turn Wednesday night into that? If you've been in here on Wednesday night, you know this is not an environment that is super conducive for prayer. Okay, it's just not. There's a lot going on all around, and it's hard for sometimes for us just to focus whenever I'm up here and I'm trying to be really loud and overpower the orchestra. All right, so sometimes that's really hard. The other thing is we could do it Wednesday night, but we don't have any other place where we could do it, where we could all get together and do this, okay? So what I've been praying about and thinking about was doing this on Sunday evening. And I had someone say, well, but we're losing a Bible study. Well, here's the deal with that. Sunday morning, we study the Bible in service. We have Sunday school, where we do the Bible. We have small groups during the week, where we study the Bible. We have Wednesday night in here, where we study the Bible. And if we just had one more Bible study, which we do on Sunday night, it's not actually transforming radically the face or the motivations of our people. And it's not like, well, you know, and then today, and if you wrote this, I'm not making fun. I'm not. But today on the surveys, I looked through some of them, and some people said, we need more Bible studies. Like, for goodness sake, you know, we've got Bibles. And don't get me, and I hope you know my heart. I love the Bible. I love loving the Bible. I mean, I do. I love it. I mean, if you've been around for any period of time and you have a question about whether or not I truly love God's word, then you need to have a hearing checked or something, because I mean, I do. But at the same time, we need to pray, and we need to pray as people, and that's what God says. My house will be called a house of prayer, and so we're gonna do that. And I wanna touch on a couple of things before I get into why we don't pray. One of the things is, I think people, we do have house of prayer. We do that if you've ever come. We have house of prayer. And it's a great time for people who show up and people who come. It's a wonderful time. One of the things about house of prayer is that we tend to make the house of prayer very, very, very structured, which is nothing wrong with that. We don't need to be chaotic or anything like that. So we do need to be structured whenever we do, you know, our prayer time and stuff like that. But one of the things when we're talking about when we do house of prayer, we kind of divvy it up. We have the house of prayer, we have prayer for this particular thing, and then prayer for this particular thing, and then usually somebody leads, or we pray as a group, and then we're done. We're just kind of gone. Okay, so what we want to do on Sunday nights, a couple of things. One is, we'll start with some sort of very short kind of devotional thought to kind of get our minds focused on the Word and on God and just kind of settle down, and then we'll have maybe a particular prayer emphasis on certain nights, whether it's praying for the persecuted church, whether it's praying for a particular country, whether it's praying for something going on in our nation. But we'll also have, as I mentioned, we'll have our Wednesday night prayer guide that of all the people that are sick, the people who are homebound, we'll have people who are serving military and mission trips. We'll have that there, right? We're also going to have on the backs of our pews or the backs of our seats, we have the little cards where people can write prayer requests. We got one today dropped in the offering plate. And if someone writes down those, we will have those, and we will pray over those. And so, but we're not going to have like, every week we're not going to have one person standing up and saying, okay, I'm going to pray for this now. Pray, and everybody just sort of listens, because it tends to be, sometimes it can be very kind of spectator-like when you're just kind of sitting there and you're just listening to somebody praying, and sometimes it's kind of hard for you to pray when somebody else is praying, you know. But what we want to do, like on the stage. So what we want to do is we want to have a time where we can come together and we can pray. And I know some of you are like, no one's going to call on you and say, you, pray out loud right now. No one's going to do that, so don't get all concerned. I think that's what some people thought house of prayer was. Like, we're just going to go around and say, now your turn, now you pray. I don't want to pray, I'm uncomfortable praying. Well, okay, you know, you don't have to, okay? You don't have to pray out loud. But here's what I know. God's people pray, God answers. God's people pray, God shows up. God's people pray, they come together and they pray, and they are unified in prayer, then God does things. Now, how is this going to transform us? I have no idea. That's the exciting part about it, all right? And as I mentioned this morning, so, like, what's it going to look like? What's the format going to look like? We're just going to go in there, and we're going to pray, and we're just going to pray. We'll pray. We'll have some guided prayer sometimes, and there's going to be some of it where we just go and we just pray. And if you pray and you say, well, I've prayed, and I just feel like, okay, well, I've just prayed, you know, and after half an hour, you're just like, well, I'm just going to slip out because I've prayed. That's cool. And if you say, wow, God is really working on me, and I don't mean that, we're not going to gauge it like, did you see how long that person was there? They must be very, very spiritual. All right, Jesus had some things to say about that, okay? So we're not in competition here. I'm just saying we're just going to pray, and I know we have people here in the church who have a passion for prayer, and they are prayer warriors in the sense of, I mean, they love praying, and they love praying for people, and they pray deeply, and they love the practice and the discipline of prayer. And if we have, you know, a prayer service and somebody says, hey, I want to, you know, I just feel like I'm just going to keep praying. Well, keep praying. That's okay. The doors will close on your way out. You just stay and you pray. You just pray, right? People who, we have a lot of times when people say, hey, I have a surgery coming up. Okay, I have a surgery next week. I have a procedure next week. I got a big job interview next week. I have something that I'm facing next week. Okay, well, you want to show up Sunday night? You can show up Sunday night. We'll have people gather in and they'll pray over you. Okay, that's kind of, and I know you're saying, yeah, but what about the structure? Okay, I get it. But I'm saying we're just going to do just what God says, and we're just going to see what God does, because God's going to answer. Now, what does that look like? I don't know, but it's going to be great because it's going to be God. So we're just going to let God be God and do what God does. And we're just going to pray till he answers. And I believe with all my heart, I know with all my heart, we won't be the same as a church if we will come together as a people and pray. And that's what we're going to do. We'll start that next week. Now, with that in mind, I want to give you some reasons we don't pray. All right? Some reasons that we don't pray. And that's not, I'm not talking about just corporately, I'm talking about individually, all right? And first of all, we choose to complain to others instead, all right? When we have opportunity to pray, sometimes we just want to complain. I do it. You know, I'm just going to go and I'm going to complain to this person, I'm complaining about so-and-so and so-and-so and this and that and the other and this situation and that situation, and, you know, and sometimes I complain about what's going on in the nation and I don't complain. Well, how much do I pray about it? If I haven't prayed about it as much as I've complained about it, There may be something going on there, because complaining rarely solves, you know, anything. So we need to pray, make it a practice of prayer. In Psalms 142, with my voice I cry out to the Lord, with my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. Most of the time, okay, confession, most of the time when I get in the biggest trouble is when I engage somebody else trying to discuss an issue without having first engaged with God about the issue and prayed about it before I talk to somebody else about it. God should be the first one, the first person I talk to about anything before I engage with somebody else. I had that happen just this week. I didn't pray about something, and I was just like, so-and-so, and I just kind of just, you know, said something and just kind of explained. It was truthful, but I explained it, and they just kind of looked at me, and I was like, you know, I probably should have prayed about that before I even mentioned it. Because sometimes, have you ever prayed about something before you mentioned something, and then God just said kind of, you don't need to say that. And you go, thank you, God, for helping me with that. Don't you wish sometimes the Holy Spirit had an actual tangible hand that he could just flap over your mouth. Am I the only person? I'll accept that if I am, but sometimes I do. All right, so we choose to complain to others instead. Secondly, we struggle with focus when we pray. Anybody else? Can I get an amen on that? Golly, right? So hard because we get so distracted with other things, you know, and the phone is buzzing. Or you think you hear the phone buzzing. You're like, I don't know. What if they need something? Well, I mean, you can get very distracted and lose your focus. And I know for some of us, it may be very hard. It may be very hard to focus because you got things going on. You got family members, you know, going on. I talked to a parent. And when I was up in Tennessee, I talked to a parent. I was talking about prayer. And she said, well, can I ask you, do you know it's really hard to focus when you hear this? Mama, 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 mama. You know how they can be. And it's just like, she said, that's just really hard to focus in prayer, you know. So we struggle to focus when we pray. We engage in warfare when we pray. This is a biggie. We don't realize just what's going on spiritually oftentimes whenever we start praying. We are locked in battle with satanic, demonic forces often when we pray. Satan doesn't want God's people to pray. Anything that he can do to discourage us from praying, to distract us in prayer, to destroy our practice of prayer, he's going to do because there's power in it. It's like if you, we mentioned power today. If you knew your enemy, if you were in a battle type of situation and you knew your enemy, if they went in a certain direction, they would be able to get to a location to get their hands on a massive super weapon that would wreak havoc on your forces. You would do everything that you could to keep them from moving over there, to keep them from advancing in that area. You would divert them. You would try to discourage them. You would try to resist them. You would stop them in every way possible because you knew if they got over to that weapon, then it was going to be rough on you. It's the same thing with Satan. He knows that prayer is that powerful. And the sad thing is, he's convinced many Christians to believe that prayer is not that powerful. So we don't ever go over there and we don't ever access this super weapon that God's given us. And we just, or we get discouraged before we even get close to it when Satan tries to stop us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Praying at all times in the Spirit. It is warfare that we're engaged in. You read the rest of Ephesians chapter 6, you find that we're engaged in warfare that is on a deep spiritual level. And that's not getting all weird. That's just the reality. That's what he says. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. That's what we wrestle against. You read through Daniel 10, you find that. There is a spiritual realm that is going on. If we just started thinking about that, I started to say grasp that. We really can't grasp it fully. But there is a spiritual realm that's going on at the same time that our physical realm is going on. And things are going on in the spiritual realm that impact the physical realm. And things are going on here in the physical realm that impact the spiritual realm. And that there's a connection there, a weaving together there that we don't fully understand. But those are coexisting at the same time. There's a spiritual reality that we can't see that's going on at all times around us. And Satan would love for us just to think, no, it's just the right here, just the right now, just the physical realm. That's all that exists. That's all you need to worry about. Well, there's a whole spiritual realm and that we engage in, and we engage in warfare whenever we pray. Next, we don't make prayer a priority. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it talks about Jesus. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus had a consistent discipline of going out early and praying, making time to pray. And you've heard me say this recently, if you've been here. If Jesus Christ made prayer a priority before he did anything else, the Son of God, God himself, if he made that a priority, how much more so should I make it a priority? If Jesus Christ made that a priority, it should be number one on my priority list if Jesus made it such a priority. And not just because, well, he was giving us an example. No. Well, yes, but moreover, he knew the importance of connecting with his Heavenly Father through prayer. And if Jesus had to do that, You mean to tell me that I need to do it less? No. No, I should be in prayer because I have to make prayer a priority. We forget that prayer is hard work. Any of y'all ever have to really pray, like you really like prayed about something? Did you find that an easy endeavor? I mean, like truly, like wrestling through prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Paul writes, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. He is always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. He's wrestling in his prayers. He's praying through. He's praying through the situation. And it's hard. It is. It's hard work. I mean, there's no other way around it. I mean, it takes discipline. It's just hard work because you start praying. How many of you ever done this? You start praying. You're talking to God about something. And you start out strong. Like you start out, you're out of the gate and you're on it. You're focused. And then about 4 or 5 minutes in, you're just kind of, you kind of start circling back around. And then you start repeating, right? Because you're like, what am I going to say next? What do I say? You know, and not to say that it has to be a long prayer. But you're just kind of, you circle back around, and then you just kind of find yourself repeating something, and then you find yourself kind of thinking about something else, and then you start, you know, it kind of relates to the focus thing, and then you start thinking about what you're going to have for dinner, and then you start thinking about the thing that you need. Oh, I need to go, well, next time I'm by Walmart, and I need to go buy on my daily trip to Walmart, and right, y'all know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? Or sometimes twice a day. I got to go by Walmart, and I need to pick up so-and-so, and I need to get this. And I need to do that. And then before long, you're so far away from prayer and you're off on something else. Prayer is just, sometimes it is hard work. You just can labor in that prayer. I'll make a confession here. Now, some of you are going to say, that's weird. And some of you are going to say, that's weird, and I would expect that from you. Okay? Sometimes I will take my shooter's earplugs that I have. I have some like custom-made earplugs that you put them in hot water and they get soft and they'll mold your ear so they'll close out sound better. So I'll put those in and then I'll put shooter's earmuffs on. And before I pray, that way I can block out everything else. Right? If the house ever catches fire, I'm in trouble. Unless I smell it. But I mean, so I can just focus on prayer sometimes because I can get so distracted. So, I mean, that's one of the things. I know some people, they put on their headphones and they put on like some just instrumental music when they pray. I've done that before. Just anything to be able to just focus because there's so much, you know. And I know some of you are so focused. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, I know some of you are just, you're gifted with such a degree of focus that it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, you can thread a needle in your sleep. I mean, you're just like so focused. But prayer is hard, hard work. It is hard work, and Satan would love for us to not pray. Next, on the back, we don't believe God will do what he says he'll do. I think that's a big one. We just don't believe that he will do what he says he'll do. This is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. That's one of the words that you find all throughout 1 John. No, 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 no. That you wait, no. So you will know. Over and over again, that word know, knowledge, those words keep coming up all through John's writings, and especially in 1 John, that you may know. And so he is saying here that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That is such a tremendous promise that if we pray according to God's will and we ask something that is God's will, then God will fulfill his will. Well, how do we know his will? Well, we spend time with him and then we pray his will. This seems pretty simple, but again, it is hard work. But we often don't believe that God's going to do what God says he'll do. God says he'll do it. He will do those things. We've not learned how to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. I mentioned this, I think, last week. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. It's the only time you find that disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us something. The only thing they asked him to teach them. They ask him to explain things. They ask him to clarify what he meant on certain things. But the only thing they said, teach us to do this. It didn't say miracles. Didn't say, hey, teach me how to walk on the water. Didn't teach him to say anything like that. Teach us how to pray. Sometimes we just haven't learned how to pray. Whenever I was, Stephen Sheriff, who was down this weekend, some of you saw him this morning, my friend with me. We took some martial arts together and stuff like that, and he's still up there in the class. And I remember that one of the instructors, not him, because I was there before him, but anyway, one of the instructors pulled me aside and just told me, he said, listen, you want to know how you learn really and truly how to fight? I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to tell you the secret. I said, okay. He said, lean in. I said, okay. He said, you learn how to fight by fighting. Okay, it seems very wise and, you know, seems very enigmatic. And he goes, no. He goes, literally, you want to learn how to fight? He says, you can go over there and we can teach you the techniques and stuff, but you ain't really going to know how to fight until somebody, like, punches you and then you have to. And I was like, oh, okay, Are you you're not going to be the one to do that, like, are you? He's like, yeah, I can, right? And that's how we learn. I mean, granted, I don't mean like we were out there just throwing punches left and right, but you got out there and you actually drew close and engaged with the other person. And sometimes when we talk about prayer, you know, we read books on prayer, we have classes on prayer, we do all these things about prayer, but we don't pray. Right? We need to pray. And so that's what we're going to start doing on Sunday nights. We're just going to have a time where we just pray. All right. So and I hope that we'll have people who haven't learned how to pray who will learn how to pray. Just being there. Let me tell you quick little testimony. When I was up at the last church, we had some small groups. We did small group ministry like we're doing here. We had some small groups, and at the end of every small group, we encouraged the people to just go around and just pray, all right? And that's what we encouraged. Well, there was a time where there was, and it was a matter of if you don't want to pray, you don't have to pray, okay? You just don't need to, you don't have to pray. So there was this one guy that was coming to a small group, and he had been coming for months, and everybody had prayed, but he would never pray. He just wouldn't pray. Wasn't comfortable praying. So he came to a small group and everybody prayed, and then he came to the Bible study and they prayed, and that went on and went on. Until one night, they were having their small group. There's about eight of the guys sitting around, and they said, okay, well, we're closing down the small group for the night, and you know, we're kind of at the end of the session, so we're gonna pray. So everybody prayed. And this guy had not prayed. He never prayed. So when they got to guy number seven was like an amen. You know, and he just kind of set the plane down. And they started to stand up. And guy number eight, he's like, whoa, wait, where are we going? Well, we're going home like we always do. He said, no, I want to pray tonight. And so they were, yeah. And they said, this guy prays. And when he prayed, they said, when he got done, everybody, all the other seven guys got up and they were just bawling. And they said, because this guy, I mean, he was praying. I mean, he had been praying silently the whole time, but he felt comfortable enough to pray. And he just prayed. Not that he had to pray out loud, but it was an encouragement to those around him whenever he kind of brought down the house, so to speak, and just really lifted up God. And we're going to have people who come on Sunday nights, they're not comfortable praying, they don't want to pray, but you know what? Being in that environment, being around people who are praying, they can learn how to pray, they can see how to pray, and I'm praying that that will spark some things, because I know there are some people we have here at this church that they're not prayer warriors, but God's already tapped them and said, oh, you're going to be one, and they don't even know it yet. It's going to be just as big of a surprise to them as it is to anybody, but they don't even have a clue yet that God's going to raise them up and give them a love for prayer, but he's going to. Right, and then the final thing is we forget God's welcoming grace and the honor of his presence. We can go before God and God welcomes us as his children into his presence, and we can enjoy that honor and that high privilege, yet we don't do it. And I don't say that to make people feel guilty. I'm just saying we have access to the Lord God, creator of the universe, our king, the ruler of all creation, and we can go boldly, not disrespectfully, but boldly into his presence, and he will receive us. We have an audience with our heavenly King, who is also our heavenly Father. And we forget that we have that welcoming grace of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can go right to the throne of God Himself in prayer and approach Him, and He will gladly and willingly receive us into His presence and then hear our prayer, and according to 1 John, if it's prayed in His will, answer our prayer. So this is my prayer, that we'll become a people of prayer, people of the Word, people of prayer, people of boldness, but that we will be a people of prayer, and here's what I'm looking forward to. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Now, this is sometimes, you've heard me give God, sometimes when we pray, we give God thanks in advance for what He's going to do, that we don't even know what He's going to do yet, all right? I mean, I believe that, all right? Here's what I know. Here's what I look forward to. I look forward to a night. We're in here in prayer time, and we can have somebody say, hey, I want to tell you what God did through our prayer services. I want to tell you what God did. I want to tell you how God answered this prayer. I want to tell you how God brought this person to salvation that we've been praying for, because that's going to be a part of it, praying for the lost. I want to tell you what God did on this mission trip we took and how God showed up and what God did, because God's people were praying hundreds and thousands of miles away for what was going on in some village or some city in another nation. I want you to know what God did at the hospital. I want you to know what God did at the doctor's office. I want you to know what God did in our living room whenever He did a work among our family the other night that we've been praying over that difficult situation. I want you to know what God did in our marriage, because we prayed and we lifted up this marital issue, and God showed up and changed hearts and softened hearts and changed minds and altered the course of what could have been to something that brings Him glory, honor, and praise. That's the things I'm looking forward to. And I believe it's going to happen. I do. And I don't think that's wishful thinking. I'm just basing it on what He says when His people pray. So we're His people, so we're going to pray. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to meet with God. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to answer, and He's going to show up. And we're going to have some prayer testimonies. And we're going to have some changed lives. And we're going to have a changed church. And things are going to be different because of it. Not because of us praying, but because of God working through prayer. Because that's what He does. And that's what we're going to do. And I hope you'll be a part of it next week. And the week after that. And the week after that. And we're just going to cry out and call out to God till God answers. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to give Him praise. And we're going to give Him thanks. And we're going to give Him honor. And then we're going to turn around, and we're going to do it again. And we're just going to keep praying, and we're going to keep praying, and we're going to be a people of prayer. So, having said all that, I'm going to pray for us. And we're going to go eat ribs. Maybe the only time in America tonight that a pastor says that phrase. But anyway, let's pray. God, thank You for prayer. And I just want to repent of all the times in my own life where I've just wallowed in the sin of prayerlessness. Sometimes complaining, sometimes trying to figure things out, sometimes seeking every other avenue before, after exhausting all those, I go to You. Father, make us a people of prayer. Make me a person of prayer. More of a person of prayer for all of us, God. Make us a people for whom prayer is as natural as breathing. And prayer is essential as breathing to us. And I pray that You would help us to see that and know that, and that a day without prayer would be like a day without air. So, Father, I pray now that You'd do a work. Already You're moving. Already You're shaping, You're directing, You're making Your divine appointments that have been in place from in the beginning of all time, and there are going to be people who are going to intersect with prayer here at East Haven at this time, and their lives and their eternities will never be the same because of it. And I give you thanks in advance for doing that, because you're going to do it. So, Father, I ask you now that you might give us boldness and you might give us a grounding. And I know that everybody who steps foot into a prayer service, any service, but I know particularly prayer, that Satan will do anything he can to waylay or distract or to discourage people from praying to you, because it is a super weapon that he doesn't want anyone to get their hands on. Father, I pray that you would give us perseverance, and I pray that you would ensure us again, as you have through your word, that you would remind us of the assurance that we have of victory in you, and that we would boldly go into prayer, and that we'll see you work, and we look forward to seeing all you're going to do, because we know, don't understand it, can't put our finger on all the way it's joined together, but somewhere in there, up in the economy of your thoughts and the way you do things, we know that you have sovereignly chosen to work in prayer. And it's not that you're waiting on us to pray, but that prayer is the means by which you work. And I don't get that, but I see it in your word over and over again. And it's a mystery. There's a mystery to prayer. But yet we know that's the way you work. In so many ways you work, but that is one of the ways that you work. And so, Father, I pray that we wouldn't neglect that, and that you'd use our prayers, and that you'd work through them, and that you'd do that for your glory and your glory alone. So, Father, we pray you'd go before us now, give us strength, give us encouragement, and raise us up as a people of prayer. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.